Well, I want to thank you for your conversation today and for what you did for your country, how you used education to help during World War II. We admire you and thank you for telling your story here today. It's very nice of you.
I was just glad you'd listen to me.
It was very interesting, and you're a very good storyteller.
I thought that it would be important that maybe 30, 40 years from now, if we didn't tell our stories, they wouldn't know what some of us did on the front line.
Right. And to hear your voice telling it, I think, adds an extra dimension to this, too.
I just wanted to tell you something that the FBI lab does that hadn't anything to do with codes. There was a letter who came, and it had something in it. I don't know what it was, but back in those days, on your envelopes, you licked the flap and put it down. So the FBI discovered that the person who licked it wore lipstick, and they were able to tell you what the color was and what company made it. Whoever wrote the letter, they needed to know a little more about. I don't know whether they were in the spy system or not. So they went to that store in New York City, the only one that sold that cosmetic, and they said, could you tell us who bought this lipstick? Well, they had the records, and they knew who it was. And they went and talked to them then. So then I also heard that if you were in a car wreck and the paint from the other car was rubbed off onto your car, they had all the cars that they did at that time, that if it was painted green, they could tell you what car it was on and what year that model was made. So then they only had to check all those cars then to find out which one ran away from the wreck. They have a lot of things they can do that way that you don't hear about, you know. But I didn't think that had anything to do with the code.
Right. That's interesting, though, that they can do that. Math skills were important.
They are.
Why were they important to breaking codes?
Some codes, the way they're made and the number of slots they have to put the letters in or however they do, there are a certain number of spaces. Then when you get the words that you think it might fit in, like when you're doing a crossword puzzle, you get a clue. To me, some of the clues, the spaces they give you might be 5, and I think it ought to be 7. Well, then when you work it through, you find out the clue wasn't what you thought it was, because sometimes they give me a clue, and the word that fits in sometimes isn't what I know, so I look in the dictionary.
And so that was math that helped you do
that. Yeah, the math helped you along with the language. You know, to break the code, you have to know, is it a little box, and do they go around the outside till they get to the middle, or whatever they do, you know, to send their code, because sometimes this is the way it was. The other thing I could tell you that I think is real interesting is in the big cathedrals of Europe, they have a maze on the floor of some of them. And the one in Chartres is one of the best. It's a little deal where you go in and they have all these things you go around and you can't go through some places, so you have to backtrack to get into the other till you get to the center. And the center refers that this church is a place of worship. God has control of your life, see? And if you don't go the right path, well, then you don't get there. We have mazes now in other places because we went one place in Britain where it was a hedge, everything, and we walked around and we liked and never found our way out because we weren't going the right path. That's kind of the way it is when you're doing a code. You go different things and you find out you can't do that, and then you have to kind of backtrack and start over, and maybe you get along a little bit and you finally get to the answer. But it's like a maze when you do it.
You ever wondered if a spy could have infiltrated your building and your office and the code breakers?
Well, it's pretty hard to get in there when I was there. You had to check in down the stairs where you could just get in the door off of where you got off the bus. And if you were going up to where the FBI lab was, you went through several places where you had to show your card. I don't think they could, but what I thought was a little bit strange was there was somebody that was a big movie star. They let them tour the FBI and they'd see us working. How they got past, I don't know, but maybe they were good citizens. I don't know.
What movie stars do you recall coming through?
Oh, they were the cowboy ones. Can't remember which his name is now, but I was real surprised because we had very few visitors. Whenever we worked, we had 30 minutes for lunch. And we couldn't be going to the bathroom all the time because we had a little piece of paper where we had to fill in how many minutes we worked on this code, how many whatever we did on the others. It was all a time thing. We had to fill it in. Every day we filled in what we did. So you didn't dare go to the bathroom very often because then they'd soon find out you hadn't been doing what you'd put down, you know. So they were real careful about how you did.
Were they real careful about making sure you weren't taking any material out of the building?
That's right.
Were you checked with security or you could?
Well, if you checked out a book that was one that you couldn't take home, well, you just left it at work. You didn't dare take it.
Who would stop you from walking out the door with something? Couldn't you have concealed a book on you? Or?
Well, I didn't want to try it. No. I expect you could, but I didn't.
But that was a big notice, I would imagine. You can't take anything out of the building.
You can't take out and you can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was it. So it was real regimented, I'd say, but we knew what we could and we could not do.